from the College of Arts and Letters on the campus of Cal State San Bernardino. This is the College of Arts podcast series. I'm Kelly Cloquet, Operations Manager for Coyote Radio and Advertising. Pleased to have with me today our guest. He is Communications Studies graduate Shane Burrell, and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I want to start with your background and where you grew up, your city, your state, your hometown, and what was that like?
Yeah. So I'm originally from Southern California. I actually was born and raised in Victorville, California. As a kid, like, I moved around a lot with my mom for a little bit of time there. My mom was like a single mom, but she ended up remarrying and we moved out of state. We actually moved to Washington, and It was when I was really small. I think I was like 7 or something like that. But we had moved back to California from there, like only after being there for a year. And then as far as that, I moved from Victorville living with my mom to living with my aunt and uncle in Hesperia, which is like the next town over. It's really close by. And that was because my mom was like a big drug addict. And so there was a lot of abuse in my family, like growing up. And for a short period of time, we were placed in what's called like kinship care. And kinship care is like this section of foster care that allows your family to take care of you instead of like a foster family to take care of you. And so that was a huge ordeal to like go through as a kid, like being 10 years old and being taken away from my mom and like this environment that I've only known, and like being placed in a different environment and then growing up there. So that was kind of a struggle, you know, but overall, I come from Southern California. My experience growing up, you know, wasn't the greatest, but really kind of like gave me a shaping of what it meant to endure tribulation and to kind of like move on from there.
And tell us then, past that and high school graduation, what led you to CSUSB?
Well, CSUSB was actually like my last resort for colleges, only because I had lived in like the same area for so long that I really wanted to go out in the world. That was always one thing that I really wanted to do. And so my first actually CSU college I went to was Stanislaus State, and that's in Turlock. It's like in Central California. And that was just terrible. I hated it. It was the worst. So conservative, not like Southern California at all. And so I decided to leave that school and to come to Cal State San Bernardino. That's when we were back in like the quarter system, and I came, instead of coming in fall, I came in winter quarter, and I just picked up from there. I was still living at home, actually with my grandparents at the time, and living with them and just commuting back and forth to going to school. So that's kind of how I got here.
I'm glad that Stanislaus sucked for you, because we benefit. And I worked in Bakersfield and I worked in rock radio there. And did a lot of concerts and took limos with listeners and tour buses to Fresno. So I know that area in general, and in Central California, especially Central California coast, totally different. Inland Central California, it's a different world.
Yeah, it is. It like once a week smelled like manure, right? It's huge farming town. It's very, very, very conservative. So it just wasn't for me. It wasn't the Southern California that I've known and loved and grown up there.
So tell us about majoring in communication studies, which you are a graduate. When and why did you decide? Where did communication studies come in and you decided that's my path?
Yeah. So like when I first started at Cal State San Bernardino, I double majored in biology and chemistry. In high school, I was a huge chemistry nerd, and I was pretty good at biology too, because they kind of work hand in hand a little bit. But I was like the president of the chemistry club and all of that cool stuff. But even still, when I got into like college level chemistry, it was just so boring. and I say that only because like it's the same things over and over, and it's so repetitive, and it's just like regurgitation of this knowledge. It's like, do you actually know what this is? Do you know how to, you know what delta sign means in chemistry? Do you know how to illustrate the Krebs cycle in biology? And I knew all of these things, but it wasn't exciting for me. And I had a couple of friends that were upperclassmen when I came in, and they were telling me to kind of like explore some majors. And one of my friends, she told me to take like a communication course, right, as an introductory course. And so I did. And I got, you know, the permissions from Linda to be able to do that. And so Linda, our secretary.
Linda Sand is the best. She knows everything. If I've got a question, I go to Linda.
Yeah, every time it's Girl Scout season, I always bring her, like, the lemonade cookies from Girl Scouts. She loves those. But yeah, so I got the permissions to take the 200-level course back then for Intro to Communication Studies. And I took it with Dr. Joanna Grant. And since that day, I have stuck with Dr. Grant, like, since that class, since I was able to take that class. And I just remember that I was sitting in the class and she was doing her introduction, like, in this class, about 200 students. And it's in this huge lecture hall. And she did her introduction of a picture of her with her purple lightsaber. And I was like, this is where I want to be. Because if I could be a nerd, because I was a nerd deep down inside and I was still kind of like keeping it down so nobody knew about it. But if I saw a professor who was a total nerd and exactly like me, loved Star Wars just like I did, then I was like, this is the discipline for me. I want to be here in communication. And so after that day, I switched my majors from biology and chemistry to communication studies, and I just like never looked back.
At what point as an undergrad did you say, I'm going to stay on and get my master's?
So I think I was like the end of my third year and going into my fourth year, and the department had just recently hired a new faculty member, and her name is Dr. Liliana Canlas Gallegos, but back then I knew her as Liliana Gallegos, and I took a gender communication course with her, and she just like blew my mind on all of this like crazy stuff that was not really being taught back in like mass communication, right? Because I was in mass communication concentration. And we kind of saw things as more as like institutionalized like criticisms, but she kind of took gender communication in such a way in which like it just broadened my mind, right? Like just what I knew was just like not really what I knew, that there was so much more out there. And she brought in like cultural studies, like Latino communication, which I love. And I took some time to speak with her in her office hours. And I remember being extremely nervous because she had told our class that she's willing to take on students to mentor for them. And I remember being so nervous and going up to her and like, I would really, really like for you to be my mentor and to help me kind of like navigate this space that I'm in, because I'm not really sure what I want to do after I finish my bachelor's degree, right? I wasn't sure if I wanted to go into the workforce. I was the editor of the Coyote Chronicle during the time. I was the sports editor, actually. And I knew sports, but I didn't really like sports. I just knew that I liked to write a lot. And so I was really good at AP style writing. And I actually worked with Kathy Hansler. I TA'd, quote unquote, for her class and helping students learn how to write for the media. But she kind of inspired me to look into like higher education, right? To keep broadening my mind and not just stop with my bachelor's, because, you know, during that time, everybody was getting their bachelor's degree and the job market was just extremely competitive. And having a bachelor's degree at the time was just like equivalent to a high school diploma. And so she was like, why don't you look into the master's program? And so that's what I did. I applied for our master's program in communication and just blew my mind from there even more. So she's the one who's really like instilled in me to seek out higher education and to really get to soak up as much knowledge as I possibly could, which at the time I didn't know that's what I wanted. But reflecting back on it now, I could just see that she's right, that she saw something in me that just really had this urgency to learn, right? And to keep learning. And so that's kind of the path that I took.
She is incredibly passionate. When I have seen her present or lecture, it's 100% engaging. You are in it with her.
Yeah.
She's got a gift. Boy, does she have a gift.
She does. She's amazing.
As a graduate now, what were the reasons and the steps you took to pursue your PhD and why the school you chose?
I had taken a leave of absence after I got accepted into the program the first time. I was going through a lot of difficult things. I was actually engaged to a former partner at the time who was like abusive, and I was going through that in my own personal setting. But also personally, I was at a job that my boss was just crazy toxic and just so like indirectly abusive. Like we hear more about that inside, you know, stories now and in social media, how you can show that bosses can actually be abusive to their employees. But I didn't actually know that that was happening to me because it was actually happening at home. And during all this time, I lost my grandpa, who was like my father figure and helped raise me. And so I had to take a leave of absence. I was just emotionally, mentally, spiritually just broken. And so when I did come back from this leave of absence, I came back with like this hard drive to not allow anything like that ever affect me in that way again. And so I knew that in my undergrad, I had professors that I really enjoyed their classes. Dr. Grant, of course, she's the one that got me into communication studies. Dr. Gallegos, she was really there for me when I was in that leave of absence and really kind of like checked up on me, made sure that I was doing okay, not only like emotionally, but holistically altogether as well. And then, and it sounds kind of funny because she's kind of my sergeant, but her name is Dr. Mihaela Popescu, and she's the chair of my committee. And I took a class with her in my undergrad, and I really wanted to get her to be on my committee. And when I came back to the program, she was actually the head of ATI at the time, and she was just stepping down. And I worked with her on an independent study, and we worked on this paper that I entitled Enrolling and Derolling. And it was understanding how we move in and out of these virtual experiences, right? Using virtual reality as the medium. And I would argue with her. I would argue with her so much. And it's like, no, it's this concept. And she's like, you're not seeing the big picture. And she gave me more to read and more to read. Almost like, it's not really a punishment. She never punished me, of course not. But it was like, you're just not seeing it. You need to expand your mind. And so not only did I have Dr. Gallegos on my side, but when I had asked Dr. Popescu to be the chair of my committee, she really put me through a lot of the things that I wanted her to put me through. And I was asking her to do it for me, but in such a way that she knew that I had the dedication to go and get higher education. Because she asked me, what is your ultimate goal? So my ultimate goal is to be a professor and I want to get my PhD. And I'm shooting for the highest program that I can possibly get, which was the Annenberg School of Communication at USC. And that's kind of like our Harvard in communication studies. Yeah. And it costs a lot of money, but I wanted to be the best, right? And I was going, and I was willing to do absolutely everything to be the best. And when I told her that, she said, all right. And she handed me, I would have to say, like, if we put journal articles into a book, it would have to be at least 20 books that she's given me since we started working together. And we've done so much work rewriting and learning how to write, reading books, all sorts of books. She's helped me learn how to create scales in a quantitative method, but also really look at qualitative methods. And even though I've had to fight her a little bit, she has given me the tools to be able to really construct a good way to understand how I can reach my goals. And the things that really took me to the place where I needed to get to my PhD program was being absolutely honest with myself, but also being absolutely honest with my mentors and my committee members, because these are the individuals that have already gone through this process and they know how it feels, or at least some of them might know how it feels to have imposter syndrome, how it feels to like want to just give up, but also know that you have goals that you want to complete and that you want to do. And so they're going to give you all the tools and practices that you need to learn to be able to make it fit. That's kind of how I chose my PhD program. I applied to 8 schools. I was accepted to 2. I got accepted to UC San Diego in their communication studies program. But then I also got accepted to the University of Oregon for their communication program in gaming studies. And I only had one interview with Oregon. And in the interview, it was just like me, 2 other professors, and we're just talking like normal. We're just totally geeking out because these guys are gamers, big time gamers, especially in virtual reality and online video game. And we're just talking about games. And we kind of talked about my grades a little bit, but it was more so like, oh no, like, oh yeah, this game, it's so crazy. And I was like, oh yeah, I totally heard about that game. It's so awesome. And then finally at the end, they were just like, oh yeah, like, well, the stipend is this much and you basically got it, but we're going to send you the official email. And since I told them, you know, thank you. After I received the email, I said, thank you. I appreciate this, but I still want some time to think about it. Almost every week, after that, the chair emailed me from the department. They emailed me like twice a day or like twice a week, asking me if I had any questions, if there was anything they could do for me, if they wanted to meet one-on-one, all of these different things. And I finally like sat down with him and expressed like, I really would love to go to this program. I'm just kind of worried about money. Because being at the University of Oregon, they gave you this much. And being from Southern California, that much doesn't even rent you a studio apartment. So it was kind of a thing. And he said, oh, yeah, don't even worry about it. I'm from Southern California. Here's an extra scholarship. Here you go. It's like, wow, that's amazing. And so all of that kind of like was my contingency, because not only were they really, really putting in all of the efforts and their time into trying to getting me into the program, they actually made me feel super valued. Like I would be able to not only give back to the program, but that they really wanted me because they actually saw the value in me to be able to flourish and be a part of their program. So that's kind of how I did it. It's all kind of reflective on my mentorship with my committee, Dr. Popescu, Dr. Grant, Dr. Gallegos, and all of their teachings and what they have instilled in me and how to navigate academia is really what really gave me like the good, like wholehearted choice to choose University of Oregon.
And they want you so bad. That's an easy choice. Oregon, oh man, you're going to love it. But of course, you've already been there, right? You toured the university.
I haven't actually, you know, because of COVID, I haven't had the chance to go. Yeah. But before COVID, I did go to Portland. And, you know, it's a big city there, but it's not like Eugene from what I hear. But hopefully I will have the opportunity to go pretty soon.
Yeah, so. And it's an easy flight to and from. I'm just so happy for you. You talked about wanting to be a professor. So describe for our listeners an ideal scenario for your first career position after achieving your doctorate. And if you had your druthers, what physical location would that be in?
So I am diehard dedicated to the CSU system. And that's because I, just talking to students in my undergrad and sharing my experiences, like growing up, as I mentioned before, it was pretty rough. And I'm also gay as well. And so there's a lot of students that kind of go through a lot of really bad tribulations and all of these things. But when Dr. Gallegos came into my department and she like really shined this light to me and to other students as well, and I know that there's a couple of them out there, I really would like to be that type of professor for those students. Of course, I would love to come back and teach at my alma mater, you know, CSUSB, of course. But my entire goal is to just make sure that I'm like not only an advocate for students learning and learning new ideas and expressing new ideas and different ways to learn, but also being an advocate for students themselves. Because students really need somebody like Dr. Gallegos was to me and Dr. Grant and Dr. Popescu. They really need that professor who is going to hear them out, right? And who's going to hear what they have to say, hear about their tribulations, hear about their hard times, and be able to really just stand next to the student and stand by them. Because sometimes, especially in the university system, and for me, I had to operate the university system completely alone. My parents, my mom did never pass high school. My dad got his GED. I was the very first student, first generation student to go to university and to actually seek higher education. And it was extremely difficult navigating financial aid. What does that mean? What does subsidized loans mean? What does it mean to commute, right? To have a schedule, but you only have, like, you have classes on Tuesday, Thursdays, but you really need a class on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. What does that mean when you're working part-time or have a full-time job? I would like to be that professor that not only advocates for students and students' well-being, but also is a mentor to students and really just wants to be on the student's side, right? And benefit the student in all ways possible. If there's anything that I want in life, it is to be a professor. And of course, I love teaching and I love learning, but I also too want to make sure that I am the biggest advocate for our first generation, gay, Latino, all students who have had these tribulations, because we see that there's such a huge need for that, right? Like, that's why we have gay scholarships. That's why we have Latino scholarships and first generation scholarships, because there's an incentive to get these students to get into higher education. And a lot of the students that I've known have dropped out of school because they could find a full-time job that's going to pay them so much money, right? And so they forget about their education. But if they had a professor who was on their side saying, like, you know what, you just take the part-time for a couple of years, get through your university, and then you'd be able to get that full-time job.
I know, but you're going to do it. I can tell. I can tell.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I just truly want to advocate for student success and to be that professor that encourages all students to really just be the best that they can be and have that person on their side.
Thank you so much for sharing everything with us. ComStudies graduate Shane Burrell going on to his doctorate at Oregon State. Thank you so much for sharing your story, and I hope you come back to Cal State.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We hope you have enjoyed today's CSUSB Cal podcast. Look for other episodes from the College of Arts and Letters on the campus of California State University, San Bernardino.